Hey, if you've been on Amazon, you have success. It must have come into your mind to see, how much is my business worth? How much could I sell it for today? If you want to get a valuation from us, we know what is very valuable in Amazon companies. Go to aaroncordovez.com/valuation and we will tell you what we would buy it for. And if we put an offer, we close. We will close cash up front and a huge back end for you to get money as the brand continues to grow. aaroncordovez.com/valuation. With Amazon ads continually increasing in price, what is going to be your competitive edge? At Samurai Seller, we've created a software that helps you take control of your Amazon ads, not just with ad tools, but tools for analytics into your business and your profitability to make sure that you're always increasing in sales and in profit. Try it for an entire month for free on me. SamuraiSeller.com/start and get a free month of the cutting edge Samurai Seller software for Amazon performance.
This is the Aaron Cordovez Show.
We're going to do this show. I'm thinking we might do a series, by the way, because this is probably the most massive project that I'm currently undertaking with Mr. Larrabure, Mr. David Larrabure, newly married man. Was just at his wedding in Mexico. It was absolutely spectacular, and I had the luck to be the best man at the wedding. Thank you.
Thank you for coming and for being my best man.
Yeah, and so now we're here on the show, and we're going to tell people this ridiculous thing we're doing right now called Nexus Capital. So, David, I guess welcome to the show.
Thank you, Aaron.
And let's just start. And again, this is for people who either want to sell their company or people who want to get return on their money, right? Accredited investors, of course. And what, I don't know who thought of this idea first. Honestly, I mean, I know, and we go back, but why don't you kind of go to the beginning and like, what do you remember?
Yeah.
The inception.
Well, I guess if you asked why we got into this Amazon game in terms of like the fund, it probably goes back to that first time we met. Some years ago, and we talked for many, many hours, maybe 8 hours, I don't know, maybe.
That was a long time.
And I think it happened on that conversation. And I think, if memory serves me, you mentioned, as we're talking the different stages of blowing up first the Zulai brand, and then developing SOPs, and they're acquiring brands, and then once we've gotten good at that, let's go bigger to capture funds. And I had mentioned something about funds earlier in the conversation of something I'd been involved in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I think you're the one that at that point said, well, at that point, why don't we just launch a fund?
Mm-hmm.
We can capture that investment from the people around us.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. Because I guess why? Because again, I talk to people all the time, right? But why, like, hey, why are we going to come and do this thing together? And part of it was, hey, you knew one, like sales and talking to people and fundraising and all that kind of stuff. And I'd never fundraise a thing in my life. In fact, the reason I love Amazon so much is because you don't need to talk to anybody.
And now it turns out that you're so good at talking to everybody.
Yeah, wow. So, I mean, really, because Amazon, e-commerce in general, you don't have to actually have a conversation.
Right.
You can be awkward. You can be weird. You don't have to speak English. You can be whoever. And like, it doesn't matter. Your product looks good and people will buy it.
Yeah.
So, that was what, 3 years ago now? Maybe more?
Yeah. A bit over
3 years ago. And so...
Actually, in 6 days... No, probably that conversation happened exactly 3 years ago because you told me on that conversation, because that's when we decided to partner, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you asked me, when will you be in Clearwater? I was in Mexico City, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And I told you 1 week.
Uh-huh.
And I landed here on the 22nd. Of June.
Wow.
So that's in 6 days from today.
Okay.
So probably in about 3 years and 1 day ago.
Exactly.
Was that conversation.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. So now here we are. And one thing I find amazing is that day we basically laid out a plan, right, of what we're going to do, right, which was, I mean, you remember the plan?
I remember. It was, let's blow up the brand that you and Whitney had created. Let's create some standard operating procedures that have proven true within that brand. Let's then start acquiring brands, which we did with our own resources. We met then the owner of the bank, and we had all these resources accessible to us. And then when we're confident and comfortable enough, that's when we said, okay, now we reach the part of launching the fund. But all of it, we talked about that day.
Everything was exactly laid out. That was the plan. And I want to say it took about a year for us then to buy the first brand, no?
Yeah.
Approximately.
Yeah.
And then that brand experienced the
ridiculous. Exactly a year, actually. I was in a trip in Tulum with Shelby, remember? And we got locked out of the Seller Central account. Because I was doing everything too fast and I was freaking out. And you were like, chill, chill. Yeah. Remember? And we're calling Sean.
Yeah.
Dude,
do
you have access?
And that was in June.
Yeah. That was a...
So it was... whenever, I mean, it was...
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was in June.
It was in June?
Yes.
So, anyway, it's all taken. So basically 1 year we're going to have, I don't know how many brands, a ton of brands, because it's everything's happening in June.
Yeah.
So I guess, trained and worked with a lot of people on Amazon. And I want to just kind of give a little bit of a shout out, I guess, or a comment, where this idea that is really required on Amazon, that because we trained, you learned a bunch of stuff in July. And then we went and bought this first company.
Right. Part of that first step was I needed to learn everything you know, everything. Remember?
Yes, exactly. So you came here, everything. You're like, you know, sitting down interrogating every single person.
Yeah.
Product sourcing, ads, the images, everything. And when we went off and bought this first brand, I remember we did like a launch.
Yeah.
And I had said, hey, this is the launch process or something like that. Or you had already learned the launches and it hadn't gone. And I remember this is a viewpoint that you actually... I guess I maybe had that viewpoint earlier, but I maybe had lost it after the company got bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And maybe you brought it back into being, which was any product that you launch, okay, if someone else is selling it well, profitably, there's absolutely zero reason why you cannot sell that same product. And so you created this like procedure, I don't know, this process of like, no, like it changes every single day. What was... This is your development, so like, explain what was this concept? And,
yeah,
and,
I mean,
let's talk about it.
If it's that the simplicity of it is, if it's not going, then you need to change something, right? You're doing something that the others are doing, or you're not doing something that the others are doing.
Yep.
So what is it? And when you don't clearly know what that is, then, well, how do we get there? We'll change the main image. We'll change the title. We'll change the keywords. We'll change the label. We'll change. Change.
Exactly.
And monitoring the statistics, right? And the sales. And when you see it move, it's like, okay, leave it.
Hold on. Yeah.
And then you go from there. Yep. But that's kind of like the concept. Like everything should sell, right? Unless you source something terrible.
Yeah, if you're selling a fidget spinner or something.
Yeah, or an automated robot that.
If you have to see that someone is already selling it.
Yeah, that there's a market for it.
Yeah, there's
right?
a market for it. Exactly.
Already.
So.
There.
That's an amazing thing. And so when we put these new brands in place and it's like, okay, good, we take a product, making it sell, develop the teams. So now there's like two teams, right? And they're both extremely specialist and they're, you know, the Zulai team manages Zulai. But then this other team has like this concept of everything is going to sell. Not going to, but everything can sell. And if it's worth it, then you push it. And,
right.
And I mean, some products have had stupid, ridiculous gains.
Yeah.
In fact, I think... On that first account, a new product has more sales than even the existing ones, no?
Yeah, I think in that first acquisition or second launch became the leader of its category in 6-7 months, still the leader of its category.
And,
even
but
though
the leader
it sells,
of the whole account.
Yeah, for sure of the whole account, but also of the whole category
yeah, correct,
of Amazon.
Correct.
At 45% higher price than our next competitor.
No, it's ridiculous. It's amazing. So the point is the skill is there, right? And that's what I first want to talk about is like that developing that skill is key because the difference in when you buy a brand is for it not to go down, you have to make changes.
Right.
And the biggest failure that I've seen in brands going down and failing and all this stuff is they have the same pictures they had from like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
In fact, and I you know this company, but I was at a publicly traded company. And they have a video room for products to take video. And their video is booked out over a year in advance. So for you to get a video for a product. Oh, I need a new video for this, you know, this photography arm. Okay, good. Put it in the queue. You're going to get see it in 400 days. You're like, wow.
Yeah.
And so how do you... It's not that hard to pass somebody like that. Because when you change and you get better. And then they change in a year... And by that time, you're already three steps ahead. So, I mean, really, it's not that hard.
It really isn't, but I'm glad you bring that example up. One of the things that we've also become good at, us, you included, and the companies, is our ability to scale, right? And we're like that, the video. We'd never wait 400 days for a video. Hire another videographer, build another video room. Hire two, hire three. You know, you already know how to do the videos. The guy in the office next door sitting there right now.
Yep.
It's a perfect example.
Yep.
But it's the ability to scale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have the tech and the knowledge to do things right. Good. Now let's get more people to do it right so we can do more of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons for this podcast is to talk about the fund.
Okay.
Okay. So what is the structure of the fund? Like, what the hell are we doing?
That's a good question. Yeah. It's a fund very similar to whoever's, some of you might be familiar with real estate funds. It's a very similar concept in the sense that you receive investment from only accredited investors, obviously, and that is then used to acquire assets. In the real estate fund, you acquire a real estate, a building, and from the rents of the units, everybody gets their little cut, and that's how you get your return,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the exact... that exact same concept, except instead of buying buildings, we're buying Amazon companies. And what makes it that much more different than the real estate is that when you acquire that building, you do certain things, and there's people that are really good at this, and they put some improvements, and they raise the rents, and there's more income, and you get a return. And that is usually maybe about a 5 to 7% return. It's something very stable. It's relatively safe, mm-hmm. right? This is a bit different in the sense that it's a company and it has products, and it grows. It grows a lot faster than raising that rent once every 5 years, right? So when an investor gets involved in a brand or in a fund, right, and this fund is going to buy this brand, for example, they might start at a return of like maybe 12 to 15% return, mm-hmm, for example, mm-hmm. which is pretty good compared to what's out there. But what's really incredible about it is that as that brand grows, so does that return,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I think we were talking a few days ago, you and I, the last fund that we acquired this brand a few weeks ago, like right before the wedding,
mm-hmm.
it's already grown like an 11%, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like 5 weeks. So
yeah, and of course, first of all this stuff, right? Anybody who invests, you get all the documents and all the signatures, and that's the final information. This is just, again, an understanding, and of course things change, and it's all expectations or thoughts of what could happen. It could all be destroyed
completely.
Hey,
yeah, we can fuck
it up. A nuclear bomb goes and every business in the world is done, and we're all done. Okay, of course, nothing happens. I don't know. There's a war, and
We could also do it wrong, right, and fuck it up.
Correct.
Is it likely? Yeah. No. I mean, we have a track record. We've sold enough, and we do enough Amazon to this date, yep. where we believe to know what we're doing. Yep.
However, if the brands grow like that first brand that we had, or anything like Zulai has grown, the return to the investors will be...
You can't say the number because believe you.
It'll be so bad. I mean, it'll be like ridiculous at like... What is that? It doesn't even make sense.
Hundreds of percents.
And so, if that would happen... Now, again... Is it going to happen? We don't know. But my expectation would be likely it will grow.
Right. Yeah, the
majority will grow, right?
And yeah, also we're very picky, right? Because we're operators, we're Amazon people, so we are very picky in what we buy.
Yes.
Like,
it's true.
We're both involved in that process.
Brands or something.
And we've had what? 4, 5 that we've really liked
out
of like 300 and something. So we'll never bet on a losing horse. We'll acquire a winning horse and then improve that, his ability to keep winning or win further, if that makes sense.
Yep.
But I think going back to your original question, which was how does it work, the fund,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Let's talk about that.
So you have the accredited investors, they invest, right? You have quarterly distributions with financials, and they get their quarterly wire or distribution or check, but it's not really a check. And we've capped, for example, it's very simple to keep the financials clean with how we've established it so that we can protect always the return on the investment
The amazing thing about, I guess, Amazon e-commerce all stuff is we get all the accounts, the bank accounts, all the deposits, all the payments from Amazon, from Shopify, from wherever. It just goes to this new bank account, and that bank account is dedicated to that fund. And currently, each fund has one company.
Right.
Right? So that fund, you have an exact ownership in that brand, right?
That's
right. Or in the LLC, which owns the brand.
Correct.
Okay? And the, again, all the legal stuff, like, again, this will all be in whatever document that you get, right?
Yeah, if
you
request in a PPM.
It. Yeah. However, the brand itself is owned 100% by the fund, and the fund is owned 50-50 between the Nexus management, Capital, the management, and the investors.
Correct.
So essentially, this is a full non-voting ownership of the brand.
That's
so,
right.
For people to understand how that works is there's no, like, it's not like, hey, you just get some payments or whatever. You're actually ownership, like, you actually have ownership in that brand, right? So this is not, you can't just move it around, right? It's an actual ownership. And in fact, the distributions get paid out and that goes on a K-1, right?
Correct.
So it's actual partnership. You actually are a partner in that brand and you get paid. So if the brand goes up, your payments go up.
Right.
It's very simple. And the fund currently, the first fund that we closed, how long was that closing? Approximately. Let's do approximate. I don't like to put exactly because then it's like
fact check. How long it took
to raise the money? Yeah.
Days.
Yeah.
Less than a week.
Yeah. It was less than a week to get all the money.
Like committed. We were undersubscribed.
Yeah. Oversubscribed and all the money in. I don't know. The money was in wired in whatever, a couple weeks.
No.
All the money came in. It was wired right away.
Oh, no. Because we didn't need some of it. You're right.
Yeah. So whatever. A bunch of money came. All right. The whole thing was done. Then we went under contract and that was closed. One big piece about this is, and this is more about the guys selling their companies, right?
I guess, yeah.
But we closed very fast.
Very fast. 19 days from a signed LOI to a funded escrow account.
Which is unheard of. I mean, there's so many companies that go under contract and currently they'll stay under contract on the LOI for 3-4 months, five months, six months.
There's this one that we...
And we put an offer in.
And they've been under contract for about 5 months now?
Yeah. We got outbid.
Yeah.
We got outbid. Right?
Someone who didn't have the money, which is why they haven't paid it. So they're trying to get a bank to lend them the money, which it's unlikely it'll happen. But the brand's still under contract.
But what's crazy is anyway, that's a whole other story. So we'll do more of these because I want to talk about that. I want to talk about some of these stories and go into it.
Sure.
But really, the structure of the fund, let's go over that now because this is kind of the first time we're talking about it on the air. And in the fund, it's 50-50, right?
On the profit, that's right.
50-50 on the profit. And then there's the management fee.
Yes.
But it's not really management fee.
Correct.
So the problem, it's the operating expenses. So I want to go into that because, in fact, when we do the offers and we send the LOI, okay? And again, this is not a guarantee, but from what I understand, the ones that we've done so far, I'm so like careful trading these points.
On what
I'm
not you saying, say, yeah, I understand.
Yeah, one day it might be different. But currently, the ones that I've seen, when we put the offer, we make sure that we're going to account for at least a 7% operating expenses already in the offer.
Yeah, and the reason, I think it's also worth mentioning the reason for that 7% is that's what's proven true to both of us running all these brands, from like the big $100 million brand to the little couple million-dollar brand.
Yeah,
and 7% of that top line goes to the operating expenses.
Yeah. Which is salaries, softwares, rents.
Yeah.
Things of this nature, right? Legal fees, not all legal fees,
insurance.
Not legal fees like closing, but legal fees for the actual brand,
yeah, software,
liability insurance,
yeah.
You know, random stuff that is included that you're gonna have to pay. And so when we send the offer, if for example, there's a brand that says, no, I have zero salaries, it's me and one Filipino, which has happened. I mean, we've seen a large company, the profit is $1.5 million.
We saw one with $5 million. Claiming that it was handled by two VAs and their annual payroll was $45,000. I'm like, listen, for me, I know that once it goes into the Nexus environment, it will be at least $350,000 to cover that operational expense. Yeah. So we can think with that in the numbers and then we can talk or that's it. Because we won't operate that brand with $40,000 a year.
And that's the back to valuation, all this kind of stuff. The operating expenses, we do look at it at a 7%. And I would say minimum, because some are higher, right? Let's say you have a lot of production, or they have like labor
force.
Yeah,
one of them is higher.
It's higher, so it could be higher, but it won't be less than 7% ever, because what are you doing? How are you actually going to grow that company if there's no payroll? Everybody's remote. Well, no, we want people in the office. We're going to want whatever it is. So, but when we put this 7%, and I believe we call it the management fee, but it's not meant to be profit. The actual purpose of that is covering salaries, covering software,
right,
and making sure we have the team in place
to operate,
to be able to launch a product, to be able to put in variations,
right,
to be able to make it so it continues to grow rather than go down. And that's required. Otherwise, because you're not going to let a company just go down. Anyway, so you put in the offer. They already have that 7%. So while it's like a management fee, realistically, when we put in the offer, that's already taken into consideration.
That's right.
Right.
And now we can talk of an actual net profit,
yes,
right? Because when you talk SDE, you can whatever add back.
Yeah, seller discretionary earnings.
Right. Seller discretionary earnings. You can agree to what is being added back, and it can get very arbitrary. So a very simple conversation is what's proven true to us.
Mm-hmm.
7% of the top line of all of our brands gets spent in administering and growing and dealing with the life
mm-hmm.
of those brands.
Mm-hmm.
So we think with that, and then you have all the Amazon fees, you have the COGS, it's very easy. Well, how much was the product? It was $5, great. And then that makes it very clean to keep all the administration of the fund in place, but also for all the investors to look at and be like, oh, well, everything that's left is the profit.
Yes.
And it's like, wow, there's $1 million. Okay, well, $500,000 and $500,000. It's very simple.
Yep.
And that way, let's say we spent more on management, then it comes out of our share,
mm-hmm.
not our investor.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah,
that's
something
why
happens,
that's there.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Like anything that goes over that, it's out of our pocket, not theirs.
And the one of the biggest reasons to do it this way is I've heard of stories, and I've been around, I mean, I'm only 32, right, or whatever, but I've still heard a lot of business deals where, oh, I hired this profit
share
deal.
There's no profit.
Right. Yeah, and some owner, right, they get bought out by some other person, and it's like, oh, sorry, we had no profit. So the person gets bought out like for free to just get the percentage, and then the company never makes a profit.
Right.
And then how that works is they just hired like their sister for $250,000.
That's right.
And they hired their cousin for $150K, and the company makes no profit, so they never have to pay that profit share.
Right.
So it's a flexible rate. And when you go further into, let's say, a publicly traded company that took money from venture capital, right? I'll mention names just to say it. Okay.
Okay.
So there's a company, okay, called Aterian. If you look it up on the stock market, it's there right now. That company took a bunch of money from venture capital. Now their payroll, all the stuff went so high. The company they bought was profitable, but then they want to be so good and smart that they know how to hire people, and they hire, I don't know, 400 people. Right?
Yeah.
And then the profit goes from, let's say, whatever, 10% profit
to
negative 10% profit.
Right.
And you go, well, how'd that happen? Well, our payroll increased by 20 times. Now, for that mismanagement in a publicly traded company, well, the stock now has a negative yield or negative earnings or whatever, and people don't get any money. In fact, I don't know how the negative earnings work. If they have to pay the company money to keep the stock, I don't know. I actually don't know how that works. Anyway, so with this disaster, you say, well, the management company, whoever was actually managing it, they get their bills covered, and it doesn't come out of their pay. It comes out of like the investors or the
that's
venture
right.
capital firm.
That's right.
In
that,
our
that's
case,
why yeah. we structure it
correct.
This way.
That's what I'm saying. So here, if for whatever reason, somehow we got possessed by the devil, okay, and we needed an exorcism, and we went and hired 500 people to manage a $50 million brand, which would be ridiculous, okay, ridiculous, and the profits were negative, then we would pay for it from our own pockets and the investors would still get paid.
That's right.
Meaning it circumvents and prevents that kind of scenario from happening.
Exactly.
So anyway, when you look at the structure, that is why it's structured that way. It's a flat rate for management. There is, you cannot go above that, and that's it. And then the rest of it, we, Nexus Capital, only makes money if the investor makes money. This is a marriage that is beautiful, because in venture capitalists, you can sell a company, or they buy a company, then they sell it to another bidder at a higher price. The company can still be negative in profit, and the first venture capitalist wins, the second guy doesn't, and the company can crash, and the person who did the funding round still comes out a millionaire or billionaire.
Right.
Meaning, the investors get screwed, except the very first investor, the company dies.
Right.
It's a horrible deal.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, So I've seen that a lot. And in this case, it's very simple.
Yeah.
We make money only if we make investors money. And if we mismanage, then it comes out of our pocket.
In that case, we would make less money, but the investors will still make the same amount.
I mean the management fee.
Right.
Like if we, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we would make less, correct. We would make less,
and the investor take from theirs.
Correct.
Like it wouldn't affect or jeopardize their profit.
Correct. Yeah. So anyway, that's the general structure. Any other points to the structure to go over? I think it's not very complicated.
Yeah. No. And well, you're always there, right? Because the investor invested, and until that capital is returned, they're part of the growth, right?
Correct.
I think.
People ask, okay, if you can you take out your money? I'm like, right. Well, what do you want us to do? So someone puts in $1 million and they go, okay, I need to take out $100,000 because I want to buy a new car or something. And you go, well, you're going to go and I'm going to sell 10% of the company and some random place. No, we have the full authority to either keep the company, sell the company or whatever. If there's a crazy deal right now, there's no like crazy good deal. No one's going to say, hey, I'm going to pay you 20x cash or like, let's take it. The stock market is really no.
That's where I was heading. If that were to happen, because someone with very deep pockets wanted to buy a bunch of our brands at a very high multiple at the right time, and we decided to exit those brands because it was a smart play for everybody, then the investors that went into that are going to walk away, not only since like all their profit, their payouts they've gotten up to that point, but they're going to walk away with a very, very juicy payday that day. If it happens, and if it doesn't, well, have you seen? If we keep growing what we would like it to grow, in about 7 years, they're making
a ton of cash. So the idea is, and I read, there's a key few like pieces of information that I like, right? I know Grant Cardone says, well, what's the best way to like, I don't know, either make friends or like people to like you. I don't know, something
get
like that.
Get people to love you.
Get people to love you. That's what it is?
Okay. Yes.
So how do you get people to love you? Well, you send them money. You just send people checks all the time. So like, we send people checks every quarter, fantastic payouts. People are going to want us to grow. They're going to want to put attention. They're going to want all the companies to get better. So that's a key point. And another one I read, which was yesterday, and I loved it, and it said, I want, if you make the deal, or if you strive to make every deal the best deal that person will ever have in their life, you're always going to make it.
Right.
Right? Because this deal is so good. I've heard people say, why are you giving 50% of the profit out? There's other, like Amazon or e-commerce or other funds where it's like, hey, you get 15% of the profit, 20% of the profit. And I said, no, I want this deal to be so good for the investors.
Right.
And in fact, I'm one of the investors. Like, I'm putting in money. So like, of course, I want it to be good. So the investors are going to be like, I scored with this. Right. I know like we had a small investor that put in just the minimum. And I know this last deal is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And we think it's going to, we could report on it.
And we even moved private capital out of the deal so that they could be a part of it, so that they could win. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, the viewpoint is we would like to help others win. It's
a crazy good deal. Better than, you know, it would be what people would wish a real estate deal would do. Right. I mean, wish like some real estates might do that. Right. I mean, you could get real estate to 15, 20, 25, 30, 40%. Maybe real estate. I mean, you could, I guess, over a long time, whatever. But here, I will say strongly, strongly, strongly believe there will be investors that get. I can't even say the number. Like none of the projections. If you look at the projections on the stuff, the highest one that we put in all of the things right now is 22%, if we grow 22%, which is a good goal. It's really strong. However, in some cases, there's ridiculous things, right? There's some cases, okay, the brand triples.
We've had a company that grew
doubles, triples.
620% in less than 2 years, right?
It's crazy. Like, if that stuff occurs,
if that were to happen, an investor is making 100% his investment in 2 years, you know? And
will we promise that? Of course not. No.
Will it always happen? Of course not.
No. And maybe it'll never even happen, too. It'll never happen. Right? Because at some point, let's say we have 10 brands. Okay, maybe there's a little bit slower because instead you have like one baby that's going and exploding. Okay, yes, that could be the case. So we really don't know for sure. But I know enough. And another kind of piece of information is you want to invest with someone that has their own money on the line. Like we're putting our own money into the thing.
All of it.
You see? So there's like when you're so invested, and we only make money if the investor makes money. And I'm putting a ton of money of
as
my,
an
like,
investor.
Like, not only is it on the I'm an investor with the same exact terms as everybody else, right? And why would I do that, right? Why? Well, because it's a good deal. Because it's a spectacular thing that I strongly believe is going to grow. And then, of course, one other purpose is I like, and this is not a promise at all, and we could do some like this, but I have a lot of current investments in China. And a lot of the brands we're pursuing right now, most of them, not all of them, but most of them are based, you know, US or some other place that is not China, just in case. Right. And so I'm putting my money, you're investing alongside of me, right? I'm going to take care of your money like it's my own, because it literally is my own.
Right.
Right. It's like literally is my own. Right. And then again, another question that, you know, people have asked is like, well, how do you keep the bookkeeping separate? Do you going to, you know, merge all of the different accounts? Like you have three funds, you have four funds, you put them all together, this, all that. Can you speak on that?
Yeah. Each fund, it's we're keeping it very simple, where literally each fund is one entity. It's one company. It's one brand that's been acquired. Maybe two, maybe three, but it's all set up at the beginning. And it ends on that. So when you go in and you're like, hey, I'm putting down $1 million, it's part of this. And if later in other funds there's this and there's that, that's different. It will not...
There's no commingling of bank accounts, right?
No, it's...
There's
no commingling of charges. This entity has its own books, and that's what you're riding. And that's the growth that you ride until either it's sold or we keep going for 20, 30, 40 years. And now you're going to be making hundreds of percents of your investment from a long time ago every year.
If that happens, right? If there's that growth, yeah. In 40 years, if it grew 10% each year, it's stupid. And again, let's talk about why this growth, why I believe it's possible, and like kind of a prediction here, right? And it goes back to the topic of the digital real estate. Okay, so real estate. If you look, I saw an article that talked about, or a photo from like 1930 or something, and it was like a condo, two bedroom condo, a thing, whatever, for sale, and the mortgage payment was like $100, right? The house was maybe $4,000, $6,000, something like that. The house. And now that house is, I don't know, $1 million or whatever. Right. So you have a appreciation, right? Because the space is limited. The real estate is actually limited, all right? Now, for Amazon, this is the case as well.
Okay? Right.
So there's a real estate. What kind of real estate is that? The top three or four positions on a search result. So if you search lemon squeezer, right? It's not going to be like, yes, there might be 10,000 results, right? They cap it normally at 10,000. But it does, like, the 10,000 sell almost nothing. The top people who sell are like the top four. Right. Yeah, maybe the top 10, top 20. They're like, some sell. But
yeah,
really,
but
the top
hits
three.
Happen
yeah,
at the top three.
The top three, top five. That's where you get most of it. Those spots over time, just like real estate, we call it digital real estate, because the eyeballs only go so far. And it increases and it appreciates, because right now there might be 200,000 people searching lemon squeezer every month. But as the population goes up, well, the Amazons don't, there's not more Amazons. I mean, right. I guess there's other marketplaces, but still Amazon dominates by far, and that's going to grow.
Right.
And if there's other marketplaces, we're also on those, and we're going to continue to go to more marketplaces. So whatever. But the population is going to grow. The people buying online is going to grow. Where are they going to end up? They're going to type the same lemon squeezer thing. And those same spots are worth so much more. And if you get that real estate, if you get that spot, and they don't really change, this is not a TikTok where each video each week is separate. This is not the Facebook. It's not the Instagram. It's not like a Snapchat. It's not whatever.
Yeah, it's not a trend.
No.
It's a thing.
It's a long-term item. You're going to keep using lemon squeezer, keep using microphones, keep having TVs, keep wearing cream, keep using creams, keep buying whatever.
Vitamins, supplements.
A lot of this stuff, they're evergreen. And that one spot, lemon squeezer, the first year we did it, that spot was worth maybe like, I don't know, was worth maybe $1 million. We took it, and then eventually we got our sales. Lemon squeezer took $1 million. Now, I want to say last year, lemon squeezer did like 2.2 million or something. So it's like that one spot, and again, there's other spots, other searches that are, but to make an analogy, the spot taking the number one spot for lemon squeezer is going to continue to grow in revenue. Not only for inflation, but because of the population.
Correct.
Inflation plus population, plus you get more established. And this is what we're investing in. And so I'm talking about that, guys. Like, that spot, you take the number one spot for, you know, cream for face or something. That spot will continue to get more and more revenue over time. So if you take it, you defend it, you keep it number one, it will appreciate. If you can keep it at the top, because the marketplaces are going to grow. Right. Now, again, it could be a freak accident. That's not a promise, even that. Can I guarantee and promise that online sales will grow? I can't, even though,
it's likely they will.
It's very, extremely, very possible. I cannot promise it, and I won't promise it because you can get in trouble. Like, I can't say, I know that there will be sales tomorrow. Why? There's some things you can't promise, right? No matter what, right? Yeah. And that's why we're in the fund world.
Yeah.
That's a weird space for me.
Yeah.
But we believe that online sales will grow. The spots for the searches, the customer searches, is going to grow in value, and we're going to defend it strong. So we get that increase in digital adoption, increase in the value of the digital real estate, an increase in profits, sales, all that stuff, right? That's the game plan.
That's it.
So, I don't know, digital real estate. What do you think about that term, that concept? Like,
yeah, I think that's the future, right? And I think kind of like this whole pandemic accelerated the shift into that new world, right? That's coming, where it's online and that's the retail store. It's, and the biggest marketplace is Amazon, right? Out there, I think it's about one. Well,
I think Walmart's the biggest if you have all sales. I think they're slightly higher.
Right,
but
yeah,
digital,
they
is,
have like 5,000-10,000 stores in the U.S. alone. But digital, I think 30% or so is Amazon. 30% or so is the other 14 top players.
Yeah, some people estimate as much as half. But again, it's there's not, you can't just like look it up. It's an estimate. But less than 30% is extremely unlikely, right? So, but it could be as high as 50 or somewhere in that range.
Right. So I think it's just a very smart place to be. And as you say, this real estate will continue to grow in price because it's limited.
There's only so many spots.
Yes.
There's 1.5 million sellers on Amazon. And I believe the top 40,000 represent half all the sales. Something like that. There's some statistic came out of Marketplace Pulse.
Right. There you go.
Okay, so you acquire those sellers and you have the reviews, you have the assets, you have all that stuff. Yeah. And then
and we do what we do to increase the value of that real estate by moving it further up the page, right? Yep. And by making it better and enhancing it and giving it more side products to support it and whatnot.
Yeah.
And as you said, protect it.
Yeah, protect. That's a key thing. That is, I would say, one of the top. And also, how do you protect is you continue to advance.
Right.
The only way to protect is kind of also to attack, right? So there's...
Yeah, that's kind of not so fun.
There's people who are going to come in and yes, you might learn something from them, but at the same time, we'll have to think about where is this category going to go in the future and work in that direction, right? So anyway, that's our job, right? Our job is to keep the brands not going down and going up. Oh, but it's also in the document too. Even if the brand goes down, let's say 5% every year.
Yeah, you still
the
make
return.
Good money.
The return is still nice.
Yeah,
it's which is ridiculous. I mean, that's anyway. Well, it's all in there. Okay, so if you want to look at this, we have the kind of interest form for accredited investors. You can go to aaroncordovez.com/invest. Okay, and you also can go to nexuscap.com. That's two X's. nexuscap.com and aaroncordovez.com/invest. Because I got websites. I don't know whatever website you like more. I honestly need to figure out the leads and all that stuff and the sharing the data. I don't know. I mean, sharing an email. I just don't know all the laws on that. So I know, I think, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Someone in legal will figure it out somewhere along the line.
Okay, good. Anything else that people should know about the fund? Or I guess we should probably do a shout out to people that want to buy. What are we looking for now?
Companies to acquire.
Yeah.
We're looking for companies that are obviously growing. They need to be growing, doing at least $1 million of profit. That is a good product, you know, that's helping people, or that's something survival, you know.
We don't like
something.
Selling things, you know, that are just like horrible. That's all like, I don't know. I don't even know.
Don't get into examples. But most of, almost everything that we've run across is very cool stuff, right? Just the qualifiers becomes, how much profit? Okay, at least $1 million. Okay, great. And then is it growing? Yes. Then it's an amazing conversation. Yep. We obviously pay very well because we want the sellers to be very happy. But we can't overpay like some of our competitors did in the last couple of years, right? Just because this being a fund structure.
Yeah, because they paid. So for example, there might be a company that paid over 9 times profit cash up front. Okay. which happened in 2020, right?
Right.
So if you do that, the reason they were able to do that is because they had to increase their revenue some amount to get a new valuation, to get a new investment round, to pay off the original investors. The original investors and founders, even though the company's crashing,
that company,
they came out with, you know, millions, tens of millions, maybe even hundreds of millions personally. And I don't know the exact fact. This is my understanding and I could be totally wrong. So, however, the other investors got screwed because of the paying nine times this and all those things. But they didn't care because they looked at the revenue. They don't care about the profit. They post it. They take another funding round and now the original guys make money. So everybody loses there except the two or three guys who, you know, did that first fundraising
at the beginning.
Round. That's it. That's the only
at
people
the beginning
who win.
Of the chain.
So in our case, we actually structured in a way where the seller makes a ton of money.
Yeah, we want them happy because we want them telling
to make
their
money.
Friends and everyone they know to send us their companies. But the senior most important piece of information is the investor needs to win. So if that acquisition does not fit the parameters and where our investors are winning and growing and making an incredible return, then we can't move forward,
yep.
Which is how we lost that bidding war on that company.
That's correct. And then the other guys didn't pay. So
yes.
here's the way also too that it works and what we like to do, these kinds of structures to know if you're looking, if you're considering selling your company, right? And you have another form, aaroncordova.com/exit, okay? Exit the brand. However, you don't have to do a full exit because we like to do the cash up front, which is around market value, right? But then we go, how are we going to win? Well, the founders always know some stuff and it's good to have them around. So you can get a percentage of the profits and we can take it out from our side so the investors don't lose anything. And so you stay on for this amount of time and you can get even as much as you got up front, depending if the company's sexy and amazing, we really want it, which again, there's only a few, but if you potentially
but
have
those
that,
are the ones we are
where we offer these crazy
very
deals
aggressively.
So an amazing upfront amount and then you can get that much or even more over time as a percentage of the profits, because in that case we know, hey, the company is actually growing, the company's still doing well, hey, the investor makes a good amount of money, we make good money, the seller's making good money, they then will refer their friends because most sellers know other sellers, right? So
right.
we want everybody to win. It's gonna be the best deal of your life,
right?
Right? And we've done like an acquisition, and this is kind of unfortunate, but if you do all cash and the person then puts it all in crypto and then loses their money, it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
So it's nice to, one of the ones that we did where we have that residual payments going out, the seller's doing so good because they continue to get paid and the company's grown. And it's just, it's so nice when everybody wins, right? And that
is
the goal. So the point is, if you're even like thinking about it, this, I've heard some people say, oh, I'm not going to sell because multiples are down, but I go, we can do really nice multiples.
We do
really, really nice multiples, right? Over time, you invest with us and the team, the whole deal, whatever.
One of the first things that I, when we started the conversations with the potential seller that's looking at an exit, is if we are able to together figure out how both teams win and both teams are happy, then we have a deal. And
exactly.
If we don't figure that out, then there's no deal. But you figure that out very early in the conversation, right?
Yeah.
But that's the game. It's like everyone needs to win.
I agree. So there you go. Invest with us. Check it out at Credit Investors. Okay?
Yes.
Or if you want to sell your company. And if you want to learn how to sell on Amazon so you can even get a crazy deal where you're going to get multiple millions of dollars from us cash into your account. If you like that, start selling on Amazon. Start building a brand. Get to $1 million profit, which is crazy enough. It's like not impossible.
No.
It wasn't even on my mind to do that. Your goal doesn't even have to be that. Your goal can just be, make another $1,000 a month, make another $2,000 a month, make a little bit. And then once you can do that, well, you can do it twice. You can add two more products instead of one
right.
product. You can add five. Anyway, point is, if you're not in the Amazon game, this is a humongous opportunity. Amazon is not saturated at all. It is so open. It is a humongous open playing field. There are so many opportunities every single day for people to look at, take on, and become the leader of that field. I heard another datum. I have to share this.
Yeah.
I heard this today, and it was the guy talking. It was Sarah Blakely's husband. The guy, I forgot, he has a company called All Day Running Co. Anyway, he was saying, if you spent 100 hours a year, which is something like 20 minutes a day, on a topic, right, you will become better than 95% of all people in that field.
Wow.
Well, why is that? Like, I don't even know if that datum is true. It's just a thought. But I think it's true in a lot of cases. Why is that? Because
I know people and they get, oh my gosh, they have a $1 million Amazon company and they've now given up. They don't even work on it. They don't even try to change it. They just log in. They totally resting. If you start and every day, imagine you put an hour, 2 hours into actually learning and changing something of your list, making sure that listing changes and gets to the top. And you actually do that and learn and practice and get excited about what you can do and go to conferences and meet people who are selling a lot. And you don't stop. How is it possible that you won't beat people who are hardly trying and doing nothing?
Right.
You see, so anyway, I just wanted to say, like, you can actually, it's possible. We have this one person who was totally broke, absolutely nothing, and got, what, $3 million in their bank account.
Yeah.
And they were an immigrant, didn't even know that much English, like, not long ago. And they're now, I mean, that's pretty nice.
Yeah.
So we want to do that.
It's a good space. And I think you kind of said it with this last anecdote, which is, it's open for everybody. We tell everybody that we come across to do it. I've personally trained people around me that are friends, just, and they're wealthy people. And they're now doing serious money on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And that's not their main source of income. But as long as you say, you become good at it.
Yes.
And you keep learning even a little bit every day and kind of mm-hmm. improving and getting a little bit better. And you don't need to do the 100-hour weeks we do, but to whatever degree you do that, you will grow and it will generate more income.
Yep.
And every single person we've personally taught has proven that to be the case.
And maybe even if you sell something like a lemon squeezer, you might save someone's marriage one day. Okay, that did happen. This review. They said the lemon squeezer saved their entire marriage. Okay.
Yeah, I remember.
You know what I mean? At the end of the day, we love stuff, using stuff. Like, we're using all these products all day. I have these shoes from Amazon. I have all this stuff. Like, there's so much opportunity. You're actually serving people. In my bathroom, I have stuff from a bunch of friends that produce stuff. I have in my room, like my pillow. All this stuff is from people that we know. And it's the new, like, hunter-gatherer, like the new be-your-own-farmer.
Yeah.
Well, in today's day, you're not going to be your own farmer because you use way more stuff than just food. But you can start being your own kind of farmer. You make your own microphones. You make your own tables. You make your own whatever hairbrushes. You make your own blah, your kitchen stuff. So it's becoming the producer instead of just the consumer. And that's what Amazon is. That's what is also funding. You're funding products. If you're investing or if you're selling, take a win and do something cool with your money.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
Boom. First episode for Nexus Capital, I guess.